As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. I want to welcome y'all all here this morning. As was said at the beginning, I am Pastor Jim Autry, supposedly retired. And for those of y'all, before any questions come up, that are old enough to recognize that last name, yes, we are related. You know, this morning's gospel was part of Luke's writing about after Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem, to where he had an appointment with the cross. And as he traveled, he spent time teaching and visiting with people along the way. And in this morning's gospel, we learned that he stayed at the house of some old friends. You know, this morning's gospel tells us that it was the home of Mary and Martha. And we learned from other readings in the gospel that they had a brother by the name of Lazarus, that some of y'all will remember. You know, and that is the same Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, the gospel starts out with. And it's not clear from the next text if it meant Jesus only, or whether it meant that Jesus and his traveling companions, or, you know, the culture of that day, though, suggests that it would be rude to welcome Jesus with not at least welcoming some of his traveling companions into the house also. And most likely situation is that Jesus and at least his disciples are Martha's honored guests that day. You know, once Jesus was settled into Martha's house, he immediately began teaching. You know, here is where we begin to deviate, though, a little bit from the culture of that day. You know, today's gospel informs us that Martha had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to him teach. You know, a woman might be well educated in that day if she was the member of a household of a rabbi. You know, she could not help but overheard some of the talk of the men in the community while they were at the house. You know, the culture had no problem if a woman learned indirectly as she overheard the instructions given to the men in the community. On the other hand, though, the idea that a rabbi would enter a woman's house specifically to teach her was unheard of in that day. You know, Mary was violating some of the customs of the day by taking up the role of a student, and Jesus was encouraging her to violate the role that she was while he was teaching her. You know, Jesus was breaking down the barriers of that day's culture. You know, here's Mary learning from the master of all rabbis and the wonder of wonders. You know, he didn't send her away. In fact, he commended her for wanting to learn more about the kingdom of God. You know, we can't really appreciate in this day and time how revolutionary that this was, because, you know, we live in a culture that encourages women to get all the education they can. You know, however, back in the culture of that day, Jesus was being very counterculture. This is one of the many events that show us that the culture had no influence on Jesus. The fact that Jesus had female disciples indicated that his word, his teaching is for all people in all times and in all places. Now sure, the women may not have been one of the 12, but Jesus had many women that followed him for his teaching. You know, while Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, Martha was busy being the hostess that day. She was following the traditions of that day, the traditions that went clear back to the days of Abraham. And you know, we heard about that in today's Old Testament reading when Abraham saw the three men approaching his tent and immediately showed hospitality to them. He first ordered a business, was a meal. You know, Martha was simply following the example of Abraham. You know, this was work that had to be done. She was preparing a meal, food to be prepared, drink to be offered, you know, comforts to be tended to. As Abraham and Sarah labored to be hospitable to the three men who came into their tent, so Martha, with love and devotion, diligently conducted her domestic affairs. You know, everything must be its best. Everything must be just right. Everything must be done with attention to detail because Jesus had come into her house. Anything less than faithful service would be a great offense to her guest, to Jesus. So we have two women with two different ideas of hospitality here. Mary showed hospitality to Jesus by listening, by learning the preaching of the kingdom. Martha's idea of hospitality was to feed Jesus. You know, Mary received the gifts Jesus brought her. Martha was preparing a gift to give to Jesus. Mary and Martha had two different and contradictory ideas about the proper way to show hospitality to Jesus. And the difference here would soon cause a conflict between the two. You know, eventually Martha reached the breaking point. You know, she'd had it with Mary's laziness. You know, who did Martha chose to scold, though, in this case? You know, when I said there would be friction between the two, was it Mary and Martha? No. Mary's words, as she went up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." Martha took out her frustrations not on Mary, but on Jesus. You know, Martha's priorities were mixed up, and she wanted Jesus to validate those priorities, to say that she was right. But Jesus, as to be expected, gently corrected Martha's attitude. The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." You know, the point of Jesus' correction's obvious. You know, don't become so busy with the good things of life that you crowd out the one thing that is needful for eternal life. You know, the problem's not that Martha wanted Jesus to have a good meal. The problem here is one of priorities. You know, Jesus must first serve us before we can serve our neighbor. The domestic dispute between Mary and Martha actually demonstrates one of the major techniques that our old sinful nature uses to drive a wedge between us and God's Word. You know, we all have important work to do, work that's very good to do, work that's helpful to our neighbor. You know, this is good in of itself, but the old Adam in us will try to convince us that we must get this work done before we can listen to God's Word. You know, no doubt Martha wanted to listen, but there was work that needed to be done first. And you know, this same thing happens to us in this day and time. You know, we all want to do what's good, but what do? You know, nowadays, there's jobs, dishes to wash, children to feed, homework to accomplish. Nowadays, there's even mandatory overtime. You know, there are places we need to go, people we need to visit, shopping that needs to be done, time to spend with family, time spent doing something for someone else. You know, Martha, like her, we're being pulled on in many and various directions, always pulled somewhere other than the feet of Jesus. You know, thus we don't actually rest. We don't have time to rest. We get tired, worn out, and weary that we're from our serving, and we begin to resent those around us. You know, our work first later and work first and rest later attitude gets the best of our heart. We turn against our neighbor. We even call on Jesus to justify our mixed up priorities. You know, Jesus gently but firmly tells us what's really going on. What's really going on inside us. You know, we become anxious about less needful things. One thing is needful, though, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. You know, Martha needed to stop doing and start listening to Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't come to her home to be served, but to serve, as he himself said, the Son of Man comes to be served, or does not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, the center of our interaction with Jesus is not for us to serve him, but for him to serve us. We worship him best when we rest in his service to us. You know, his service to us is always centers on the goal of his journey and his appointment with that cross in Jerusalem. It's on the ones that he serves with his very life. You know, if anything, he serves us with the forgiveness that provides us with eternal life if with him. You know, his service to us provides us with salvation that's everlasting. You know, we can't even begin to serve our neighbor until he has served us with his eternal salvation. His death on the cross was not the end. For 3 days later, Jesus came back to life and out of the tomb. He rose from the dead and now continues to serve us. His word, the teaching that he shared with Mary, you know, has been written down. Jesus continues to give his life to us through the preaching of his word. His word connects his heart to our heart. You know, his word shares his life. It gives us life. It communicates his life to others and gives us rest. You know, the word of God does the work of God. The work of God establishes and maintains faith, as Jesus said. This is the work of the Lord, that you believe in him, who he sent. Through the word, the Holy Spirit works in us so that we believe that Jesus is the one whom the Father has sent. Jesus, his only begotten Son, has done the work that's needful for our salvation. The death and resurrection of Jesus has atoned for our sins and now sends us peace with our Father in heaven. You know, Jesus has adorned us with his righteousness, a righteousness that endures for eternity. You know, there's a theological term that applies to today's gospel. The term is gospel imperative. A gospel imperative has the grammatical form of a command. But instead of being a command, it's a gracious invitation. You know, for example, imagine you're really, really hungry, then suddenly you hear the cook shout out, "Come and get it." Grammatically speaking, "come and get it" is a command. In reality, if you're really hungry, these words are a precious invitation from the cook to come and satisfy that hunger. You know, Jesus tells us to listen to him as it's a gospel imperative. God's word is Jesus serving us with forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. As we listen to him, the Holy Spirit strengthens our faith, and we receive his good gifts. His gifts came by preaching in his word and baptism and absolution and in his very body and blood. You know, our spirits are hungry, and God feeds us through his word. It's the meaning by which, or the means by which, Jesus reveals himself to us and showers us with his gifts. We passively receive these blessings as he serves us. This is especially true of the blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation that Jesus earned for us on that cross. You know, Jesus wants us to have these gifts. You know, that's the reason he taught that his word is the one thing that is necessary. You know, the Son of God has prepared the meal, and he said, "Come and get it." And hungry souls come and get forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. Amen. May the peace of the Lord that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.